Welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 4. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining us. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to focus on the Eagles' defense, but first let's get caught up with the news of the week. The Eagles continuing to rework the roster. On Monday, the team released wide receiver Riley Cooper. So the Eagles have just 6 wide receivers on the current roster, and they, of course, will add in either free agency, the draft, trades, usually 10 to 12 wide receivers on the 90-man roster when they go to training camp. So Riley Cooper able now to sign with any team as an unrestricted free agent. The move saves the Eagles some room within the salary cap, according to OverTheCap.com. $2.9 million saved with the release of Cooper. Later in the week, the Eagles signing linebacker Najee Good to a one-year deal, and he's a fine depth for the Eagles at the linebacker position and, of course, one of the core players for Dave Phipps' special teams. Now we're going to talk about the Eagles' defense in depth. We are taking the deep dive into a group that has to improve greatly over last year's performance. The Eagles ranked 30th in the NFL out of 32 teams in yards allowed, 401.6 yards allowed per game. The Eagles permitting 26.9 points per game in their 7-9 2015 campaign. And so the team cleaned house, changed coordinators, and they're bringing in a different attitude. It is an attack-style defense, and so what does that mean? We're going to find out in this Eagles Live podcast. We'll take an in-depth look at the Eagles' defense for 2016. We've got interviews with Eagles safeties coach Tim Houck. And also, we're going to find out a little bit more about Connor Barwin and where he thinks he'll line up in 2016. Fan calls on the way, of course, and a conversation with Ike Reese, the former Eagles linebacker and current WIP host. We also had a chance to talk with former Buffalo Bills head coach Doug Marrone, who's now in Jacksonville. He worked with Jim Schwartz in Buffalo in 2014, and the two of them put together a wonderful defense, Schwartz leading the Bills to a top 5 ranking in total D that season. So we'll find out from Marrone what makes Schwartz tick. First things first, let's talk to Jim Schwartz. The Eagles defensive coordinator is here to bring an attack style D to Philadelphia. So let's go off the field with Eagles defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. Jim, you've been here a few weeks now. How deep into personnel do you get? How much can you tell about what you have? And then how difficult is it to project what they might look like in your scheme on the field?
You know, you always start off the beginning of the offseason with personnel. You do a thorough evaluation of, you know, the season, what the guys did well, what they need to work on, what holes you have, what opportunities you have to fill those holes, whether it's the draft, whether it's free agency, whether it's your own guys, young developing guys, or maybe even injured guys coming back. So, you know, it's always the first place you start. I think you can tell a lot about players, but until you really get them on the field, you really don't 100% know. That's why we take the approach of sort of waiting to see. We have a philosophy here, but our scheme is really going to depend on, you know, what the players can do and how it best fits them.
So let's go through some of those positions. As you look at linebackers, what do you think you have in terms of personnel and how they might fit?
You know, I like the guys there. It's a good mix of guys, good mix of younger guys and some experienced guys. You know, I think they fit well with what we plan to do up front, which is attack. You know, it's a little different way to play when you're attacking up front. Those guys are, you know, trying to get up the field. You need some linebackers that can close those holes, that can attack the line of scrimmage. You know, I think the guys we have all proven that they can do that at some point or another.
So it's more of a downhill philosophy for the linebackers rather than what they might have been doing laterally previously?
Right. Yeah, you're not going to shuffle and stack. You got see holes and you got to fill them. You know, I think that you got to be able to play off of guys up front. You know, if those guys are going to try to wreck some things up front, those guys need to be able to clean it up behind them, and you need instinctive players that, you know, that when they see an opening, they can go a little bit like good running backs. They got to see the hole and plug it. Running backs got to see the hole and run through it. But, you know, there's similar skill sets in there as far as vision and downhill attack go.
Do you have a size specification for linebackers? Do you have certain prototypes that you look at?
You know, everybody has ideals and prototypes, but, you know, in this league, you don't always get those. You know, everybody would like, you know, 6'4" and 250 and runs 4.4, but, you know, those guys don't grow on trees. Everybody has strengths. Everybody has, you know, some weaknesses as players, and I don't care who you are. You know, everybody's in that same boat. So our job as coaches is find out how we can accentuate their strengths and how we can try to minimize their weaknesses.
Where do you see Connor Barwin at this point fitting into what you want to do?
I think he fits real well for what we're going to do in a defensive end standpoint. He's done that in the past. He did that when he was first drafted in Houston, and he had a lot of productivity there. I think most of his plays that he made were rushing the passer. You know, so I think that, you know, size-wise, effort-wise, skill set-wise, he fits well there. But, you know, the thing I like about both him and Brandon Graham is those guys have proven that they can drop into coverage. And, you know, we don't want to do too much of that, but it does give us a lot of flexibility within our scheme that, you know, we can move those guys around a little bit and, you know, maybe make it a little tough on the quarterback to know which guy's going to be coming.
Vinny Curry got the new deal. He loves the idea of being an attacking defensive lineman. Do you see him as a player who can really get up the field for you?
Yeah, well, you know, he better be. We signed him. That was all part of that plan. He knew what he was getting ready to get back into, and I think we knew what we had in him. You know, what he was asked to do last year might not have been, you know, the thing that he was best at. What he's best at is, like you said, attack, and he's a relentless player, and he can mess up some blocking schemes. He can, you know, he can crush the pocket. He can stay alive at the quarterback. He also has a really high percentage of creating turnovers when he sacks the quarterback. So, you know, he can rush inside, can rush outside. We really like what he can do, and we're excited about it.
You know, I've read a lot on you and your interest in numbers and analytics early on when the sporting world kind of caught wind of numbers. What numbers are important to you just from how you evaluate your defense?
Well, the most important thing is points. You know, I always find it odd that they rank defenses in the NFL based on yards. They rank offenses in the NFL based on yards. Well, it's all about points. You know, I mean, I think our job as defensive coaches is when we go on the field, we have to stop that drive. We have to minimize points on that drive. If we do a good job of that and our offense can outscore the opponent, those are the only things that matter. You look deep into the stats of the game, it doesn't mean that you're stat grabber, so to speak. Biggest thing for us is if we win the game, if we can score more points than our opponent. But there's ways we can hold the score down. You know, red zone percentage is important to us. Third down percentage is really important to us. Traditionally, we've been, you know, the staffs I've been with have done a really good job. We were first last year in Buffalo. We were first in Detroit. Been first in Tennessee. Third down percentage means a lot, being able to get off the field. We need the crowd behind us. It's tough down to play in the NFL. Turnovers, sacks, tackles for losses, all those things can help you stop a drive. You know, turnovers, obviously, you're off the field. You know, sacks and tackles for losses, you put their offense in, you know, a negative situation. You put them behind the sticks, so to speak, and it makes it hard for them to get back on track.
When we spoke before, it was the day that Doug was introduced. The coaching staff had not been completed. It appears defensively that you're completed. Can you talk about the men around you who are going to help you work with this defense?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be fun. Some guys I knew a little bit. I'd never worked with any of them before, but some guys I knew. But, you know, anytime that you have a new staff, there's going to be different dynamics. A little bit like we talked about with trying to put the players in the best position in training camp and OTAs and try to find what they do well. It's sort of the same thing with staff. People bring a lot of different ideas, and you know, last year at Buffalo, I worked with some guys that I hadn't worked with before, and they brought some ideas that I had never, you know, used, and they turned out to be really good for us. So I'm excited about, you know, sort of getting their perspective on some things, and you know, putting our system together. It's not really my system; it's going to be our system. You know, I think that it'll be a fun experience.
Thanks, Jim. Ike Reese understands the value of a good defensive coordinator, but he also knows there have to be players on the field to make a defense work. Reese, of course, part of the Eagles' defense under Jim Johnson in the early 2000s when the Eagles won the NFC East, went to the NFC Championship games, and of course in 2004 went to the Super Bowl. We talk with Ike Reese, our press coverage, about the Eagles' defense. It seems to me, anyway, that there are some pieces in place that Jim Schwartz can have a lot of fun with this year. How do you feel about the defense when you look at it as a group?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I believe there are some parts there that Jim Schwartz is going to be able to work with and find a way to put in the right position so that they can be successful. I mean, you look at this team for the past couple of years, and you know that there's young talent on that side of the football, particularly on that defensive line. I mean, that defensive line, I believe, has four certainly quality starters up front now that they're going to run a 4-3 effectively, and good young guys. I mean, young guys with Grant being the most experienced guy. I think he's in his, sixth year, so he's just now hitting the prime of his career. And that's where you got to sort of start at when you build your defense. And then when you look at the linebackers, young guys there, mixture of young and old when you talk about Connor and D'Amico Ryan. But you look at what Kiko was a couple years ago, and you hope that he can get back to that form of playing with being his second year removed from a surgery. And then Michael Kendricks and what he's able to do. So, and then, you know, Marcus Smith. What's Marcus Smith going to look like in this defense under a new regime? Young talent there. And then the secondary will probably be the area where you could say it's sort of there's certainly talent there and young talent there, but there's also a little bit of inexperience there that they need to show up. It's certainly enough for Jim Schwartz to be able to put more than just an adequate defense on the field. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see him put his scheme into action and put these guys in the proper position.
Ike, the 4-3 that he runs, it's that dreaded term that we all in Philadelphia kind of grew to shudder when we heard, that wide nine. Can you explain why Schwartz runs it and how it works under him when it didn't work when the Eagles with Juan Castillo and Jim Washburn ran it?
Sure. I mean, the way I look at it, I think the way Jim wants to run it is, A, he certainly wants to incorporate the wide nine, but he's going to know when to incorporate it. And, you know, obvious passing situation. When you want to get at the quarterback, you want to put those speed ends of whether it's Vinnie Curry and Brandon Graham or Connor Barwin at top on that outside and let them sort of pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. And that's the key to that front is when you use it and knowing how to use it at the proper time. And I think in this defense, he has the guys inside that are good enough that they're going to be able to hold up against offensive linemen and with the linebackers when you get a surprise run versus that wide nine. I just think the first time we ran it under Jim Washburn and Juan Castillo, you sort of had a mixture of two different defenses. Obviously, Jim Washburn, coaching under Jim Schwartz, knows the wide nine there, but the whole defense wasn't based around that front. And Juan is from the Jim Johnson school of doing things, so it wasn't a good mesh. The thing I like about it with Jim Schwartz is that he's going to know how it incorporates through the whole defense, how it impacts the linebackers, how it impacts the safety, what coverage you play when you call a wide nine front, how you're going to use those safeties. I think that's the good thing about having Jim Schwartz here. He's the designer of it, so he's going to know how to use it, how it impacts the front end to the back end, as opposed to it seemingly not being on the same page the first time around.
You mentioned the linebackers, and you know everybody loved what Jordan Hicks did. You mentioned Kiko and the young linebacker. So I'm assuming in your mind you're thinking Jordan Hicks, of course, because he was so impressive. But he may very well end up Ike at middle linebacker. Is he enough of a thumper to play that position? Do you need to have a thumper there?
Yeah, I believe you do. And I would say I love the kid. He certainly has the intelligence to play in the middle, has a great feel for the game. So, you know, I don't want to short him on his ability to play that middle position with a wide nine front at times just because of his intelligence. But when you talk about the physical nature of the middle linebacker in that defense, yeah, I would like my linebacker to have a little more weight on him, that Jeremiah Trotter sort of build, D'Amico Ryan, you know, a few years ago. And that's what you sort of need in there. You're going to need a guy that's going to be able to play downhill. Steven Tulloch was a great inside linebacker for his defense. Wasn't the tallest, but he was thick. He was a thumper, and he knew he was a thumper. Whereas I see with Jordan, he has the ability to do it, but I think his natural position is weak side. I think that's where you're going to get the most out of Jordan Hicks. But they may ask him to put on a couple pounds and play in there just because he certainly has the intelligence to do it. He has the ability to do it. And I'll say this. There have been linebackers, middle linebackers, that weren't necessarily the biggest, but because they knew how to slip blocks, they knew how to read formations, they knew how to get around things without hurting the defense, they are able to thrive in. So that's why I said I don't want to short Jordan Hicks on his ability to do it, because I certainly believe he has the intelligence to play that middle linebacker position.
So Jordan Hicks is listed, and he's a young guy, we know that, but he's listed at 6'1", 236 pounds. Trotter played, around 260 pounds? So that's a stretch to think he put that much weight on, but could he put 10 pounds on in an offseason?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think if he's at 245, you know, I think he can play it that way. Like, you know, he's young, he's 6'1", 240, 245, because if that frame, it still gives him a stout build. I think Steven Tulloch in Detroit, I want to say he was like 6 feet, 245. And because he was 6 feet, it gave him a little London Fletcher look. You know, he played it like London Fletcher sort of played it, and he wasn't the biggest of guys. So, you know, Jordan Hicks, he has the height of 6'1". And he puts on anywhere between 5 to 10 pounds. He gets over that 240 mark. Yeah, he certainly can do it, because the good thing about that is he won't lose all of his speed, and you still want him on there as a three-down linebacker, and you want him to be still fast and agile enough to be able to cover running backs coming out of the backfield and tight ends at the time as well.
And Steven Tulloch, 5'11", 245 pounds, and an outstanding player. Two players up front I want you to comment on. How will Brandon Graham respond putting his hand back down in the dirt after starting his career there, moving back to the stand-up linebacker position? And then Fletcher Cox, a 3-4 dominating player. How good will he be in a 4-3? First, start with Graham.
Man, the sky's the limit for those guys up front. Like a newfound life for him, being able to play back in a 4-3 defense. And when he hears that wide nine, he's going to get a chance at times to rush that passer. I think he's certainly going to benefit from it, because that's really what he is. He's a pass rusher, and if you let him know that that's all he's really going to have to do to get after that quarterback, I think he's stout enough to play against the run, but his primary job is going to be getting after that quarterback. And because of those guys inside, as I move along to Fletcher Cox playing in that three technique, that's going to benefit everybody up front. I mean, Fletcher Cox is so good, you don't have to pay attention to him. You can't single blocking or with a guard, because he'll just live in your backfield, and teams are going to have, they're going to have a difficult decision to make as to how do they block these guys up front. Benny Logan is another guy that doesn't get a lot of acclaim, but I certainly enjoyed watching him play last year, particularly against the run. He seemed to be in the backfield all the time, and because Fletcher is so good, those other three guys, one or two of them are going to get single blocked. They're going to get a single block, and that's what you want. And that's why the guys that played in this defense, the Albert Haynesworth, Javon Curses, those guys, and Dominican Sue, Biggie, I saw those guys, they thrived in it, because the guys in the inside, you have to pay so much attention to, the guys on the outside have a field day. And that's why I'm excited about the front four with Fletcher and Benny Logan in the inside. I mean, Vinny Curry and Brandon Graham, they ought to be taking these guys to lunch because of the single block that they're going to get in time.
Ike Reese, your knowledge is unsurpassed. Your passion for the game is unquenched. And I love talking to you. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Dave. You're the best, brother.
One of the big questions with this Eagles defense in 2016 is how Connor Barwin fits into the equation. We remember back in 2014 when Barwin had 14.5 sacks, 17.5 tackles for loss. Those numbers were halved in 2015 when Barwin had 7 sacks and just 8 tackles for loss. Does Barwin stand up as a linebacker and play on the strong side, an Eagles need for this team that they really haven't filled successfully since the days of Carlos Emmons? Or does Barwin play as a defensive end in this wide nine formation? Had a chance to talk to Connor about his thoughts and where he believes he's going to play.
I don't think it'll be as different as people think. I think we ran a 3-4 with Chip, but we were in a 4-3, you know, over 40% of the snaps, if not more. I'll probably be playing defensive end. If I do play any outside backer, I'm sure it'll be up on the line, up on the tight end, like I was on first down with Chip.
The back end of this Eagles defense, really interesting to see how it develops. Tim Houck, a former Eagle, he played in Philadelphia from 1999 through 2002. He returns as the team's safeties coach, and there are questions about that position. Malcolm Jenkins, of course, comes back, played in his first Pro Bowl a couple of weeks ago, and he's pleased to be here, one of the leaders of this defense. Who plays next to Jenkins? Walter Thurman's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent, so there are certainly questions about the deep secondary, and that's why we've got three questions with Tim Houck, the Eagles safeties coach. Tim, you're now here as a safeties coach, and you've had just a very little time to work and really look into that group. What do you see from the existing guys on this roster at safety?
You know, I think we got a pretty good start right there. I mean, Malcolm's one of the best in the league. Walter, yeah, I know he's a free agent. If he comes back, he's a very athletic guy that can match up with opposing teams, and he's a big plus. And then you've got the two guys that are kind of quote-unquote special teams guys that played, but ended up playing a ton last year in Maragos and Reynolds. They're guys that know what they're doing out there. I mean, they're smart football players.
What does it take to be a great safety in today's NFL?
You know, I think it takes a combination of being physical still, even with the rule changes, but being athletic enough to match up or play in space, or if you're playing in the post or you're playing in a half where you can actually go make plays. Because zone defenses now, you can't go blow a guy up and knock the ball out, so you better be able to make a play.
What is your daily message going to be to your room?
You know, do the little things, because everybody's good in this league. So if your technique's right and your breaks are right and your eyes are in the right place and you do all the little things right, you're going to be just fine and you're going to make plays.
How special, Tim, is it for you to come back here as a coach after being here as a player?
Very special. I'm excited. You know, this was my favorite place to play when I played in the NFL. I played for 7 different organizations, and to come back into this building, it's been absolutely awesome.
Jim wants it to be aggressive. He calls it an attacking defense. What does that mean for safeties?
Same thing. I mean, our safeties have to be aggressive. They have to be physical. They got to be able to blitz. They got to be able to cover. They got to be able to play in space. They got to be able to play in the box. So they got to do it all.
Tim, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're going to hear from Doug Marrone, the former head coach of the Buffalo Bills when Jim Schwartz was the defensive coordinator there. We'll hear from him in just a moment. But first, time for the fans to chime in, talking some Eagles defense. Let's go out to Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. Kenny joins us on the line. Kenny, welcome. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing great. We're talking Eagles defense today. What do you think of this group?
I'm not so sure I'm sold on the whole Eric Rowe filling in on the quarterback position.
How do you feel?
I will tell you, I would have agreed with you coming out of training camp and out of the preseason. He was clumsy, poor technique, didn't really come out of the routes at the top. But boy, when he got thrown in for the last five games of the regular season, I thought he played terrific football. And I've asked around, I always wondered, you know, is he maybe better suited to be a safety? I think the Eagles think he can be a really, really outstanding cornerback. So I think that's where they're going to keep him and hope he keeps getting better. He's got to work harder. He's got to become more fluid. No doubt about that. But I was impressed with the last four games or the last five games of the regular season.
So you want to let Nolan Carroll walk and hopefully it works out on the corner. I agree with you. I think Eric Rowe can step in there, but I'm not so sure that it's right away, you know?
I mean, you know what? Sometimes you just got to make that move. And the thing about now, Nolan Carroll's an interesting case. If he gets to free agency coming off that broken leg, what kind of market is there? Could you bring him back for a short-term deal and have him compete for playing time? I mean, we obviously have to see more from Byron Maxwell than we saw last year, right? I mean, he was a disappointing player. I think we'd all agree with that. But I think Eric Rowe, Jacory Shepard, they want to get Denzel Rice into the mix here. I think they've got some young cornerbacks that Corey Undlin can really work with.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. That's actually a good point. Maybe put me a little ease there.
Hey, and also, if they can get a pass rush, which Jim Schwartz has always done in his career, those cornerbacks are going to be a lot better.
Yeah, because they'll actually only have to cover for half the time instead of the whole time, you know?
Exactly. Kenny, thanks, man.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Let's now go to New Jersey and talk to Chad, who joins us on the Eagles Live podcast. Chad, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good, Dave.
We're talking a little Eagles defense. You like this group?
Yeah, I do. I'm just wondering, where do you think Connor Barwin's going to fit in on this new 4-3 front that Jim Schwartz is bringing in?
Great, great question. I've talked to Jim Schwartz about this, and I think, as we've indicated here, that Connor will be a defensive end pass rusher. But Jim's also talked about his ability to drop back in coverage, so you could see him maybe as a hybrid player. And I've looked into what Jim does, and he has usually one defensive end with his hand down and one standing up. And maybe Connor Barwin is that Jason Babin type of defensive end who lines up in the wide nine and comes off the edge and gives you some pass rush and can also drop back into coverage. So I think there's a role for him. But with Vinnie Curry signed to the big deal, with Brandon Graham here, he's got a big contract. I would imagine that they would like to give Connor Barwin some downs off, some rest. I think maybe he played a little bit too much last year. They never had that rotational third linebacker in there. You know, we didn't see much from Marcus Smith. Trent Cole was in Indianapolis. I think playing every down really hurt Connor Barwin.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Just with the whole Brandon Graham and Vinnie Curry, I didn't see where it fit in.
Watching the Super Bowl, and it just reminds me, Denver just had 3 and 4 pass rushers, man. It's more than just one or two pass rushers. You've got to have 3 or 4. And I think maybe that's what the intention is here, just to bring as many pass rushers as you possibly can.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call.
Yep. See ya.
Austin, Texas, registering in. Let's go to Ryan in Austin. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
No problem. I'm actually calling right before I head to class right now. So, I was wondering how Jim Schwartz is going to change the versatility of the secondary to where maybe we can adapt to a better passing game, defending the pass game. What do you think about Jim Schwartz's idea of how he thinks about secondary?
Yeah, I think... You know what? I think it's going to start up front with more pressure on the quarterback, and that will help, obviously, the secondary. You know, he really has talked very highly of Malcolm Jenkins. There's a big hole next to Malcolm Jenkins. Who's that other starting safety? Walter Thurmond is scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. Byron Maxwell has to play better than he did last year. Eric Rowe needs to continue to develop. The Eagles need to find that slot cornerback, that nickel cornerback. And I think, you know what, Ryan? If you get that pass rush, it'll help you on the back end. I think it all starts in Jim's defense. I think it all starts with his pressure package, his ability to get to the quarterback. So I think they'll play more zone than last year where there were a lot of man-to-man, and I think that'll help too.
Okay. Do you think Connor Barwin and Brandon Graham have the ability to get to the quarterback off the edge?
Yes, but I do have some reservations. I'm not sure that either one of them is a premier defensive end, along with Vinnie Curry. The Eagles obviously just signed Curry to a big contract with the express written consent of him getting to the quarterback. Would not surprise me, though, Ryan, if the Eagles can get an edge rusher, somebody that they really feel can be an elite player. They will make that call in the draft and very early in the draft. I just think you need 3 and 4 and even 5 great pass rushers. I see what the Broncos did, what the Giants did when they won the Super Bowl. They did it with depth.
They did. Yes, they certainly did. And what? Now that brings me up to the last question, real quick question. What do you think about the Fletcher Cox situation?
I believe that it's a very involved conversation, that it is a mega deal potentially in the works. I feel good that the Eagles want Fletcher to be here and that Fletcher wants to be here. There's no signs that it's imminent. And frankly, that's not a huge issue to me. I just want to see it get done. The Eagles want to see it get done. And I think Fletcher Cox wants to see it get done. So I'm optimistic, but I really don't have a time frame.
Yeah. How far apart do you think you could consider them being right now?
I don't know. I really don't know how far along they are. I don't believe any of the reports. I just think it's a very, very involved and very involved conversation.
All right.
For the call.
All right. You take it easy.
The Buffalo Bills in 2014 had a top five defense. They were aggressive. They sacked the quarterback. They took the football away. Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, Doug Marrone, the head coach. And we asked Marrone, what makes Schwartz so good as a defensive coordinator?
Well, I think it's a lot of things, you know, and I think that Jim would be the first to tell you that. You know, obviously he's had a lot of good players around him. I think more importantly, I think what Jim does is, you know, he doesn't try to plug players into a scheme and force them to be into a scheme. He's going to take, you know, the players and what they can do well and give them the ability to go out there and play and really free them up. I think that's why everywhere that Jim has been, you've always seen an aggressive type of defense, because the players can just go play, not a lot of thinking, and they can react and do a heck of a job.
Are the X's and O's that unusual relative to what the rest of the NFL runs? I mean, Jim always talks about how, hey, it's really not revolutionizing or changing the game. It's just that we try to make the players, you know, play without, as you say, without thinking.
Yeah, I mean, he does a great job of that, but I think, you know, a lot of credit has to go to Jim. I know that, you know, when you look at what he's done on third down, you know, obviously schematics or X's and O's go into that, you know, being able to stop teams. When you look at Jim as a defensive coordinator over the years, you know, you're talking about one of the top defensive coordinators of being able to get off the field on third down. I don't think that's, I think obviously a lot of that goes to Jim and the coaches that are around him, and obviously the players have to go out there and perform, but, you know, there is X's and O's that are involved with that and other situations as well.
That will do it for episode 4 of our Eagles Live podcast with Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us. Next week on the Eagles Live podcast, an exclusive one-on-one with Eagles Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Howie Roseman. We talk about the strategy of the offseason, managing the salary cap, obviously the quarterback position, and what the Eagles might do when free agency begins on March 9th. How do the Eagles build this roster back to a playoff team? It's an exclusive with Howie Roseman. You do not want to miss on next week's Eagles Live podcast with Dave Spadaro. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Thanks so much to our bang-up producer, Brian Thomas, for putting the show together, and we hope you all have a great Eagles day.